2013 closed out in the city with, let's see, 115 homicides. That's a slight increase over last year. This despite violent crime in general, as the JSO will say, being down. However, the murder rate remains high.
Right. Well, I think in 2012, there were 108 homicides. In 2011, though, there were only 86. So if you look at the two-year spread, it's a higher increase, obviously. I think there's a lot of good news in the numbers. Arrests are way down, almost half since 2008. In Duval countywide, there were 60,358 arrests in 2008. But in 2012, there were only 35,107 arrests, according to FDLE. So that's the good news. The bad news is we have chronic violence in the same old places and what looks like an expanding footprint of blight and crime down in the South Side and in Arlington.
Let's talk about that, because traditionally you think of violent crime happening on the northwest side of Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. When you look at the map, there you can access it at jacksonville.com, for example, of where homicides have occurred. As you said, it has spread throughout the county, throughout most of the county, in particular to areas of the South Side and Arlington.
Well, that's true. And of course, the West Side has been very active lately. The most striking thing, though, about homicide in Jacksonville, of course, is the racial disproportion of homicides, being mostly African-American citizens. Duval continues to face severe challenges in structural violence and inequality. And by structural violence, I mean aspects of social relations that place citizens at a disadvantage, namely in education, family structure. If you look at the distribution of the map, the Times Union just did a big, nice piece on it. I also like to look where crime is low. If you look down on the southeast corner of the county, there are almost no violent crimes. And so what you've got going on there are strong families, vibrant economies, and effective schools. Mm-hmm. So we've got things to work with in Duval, but we have lingering problems that relate to poverty and race relations.
And we'll go to your calls on this topic in just a moment. The number to join the show, 549-2937. So those social determinants you talk about, big inequalities, structural, institutional racism, poverty, educational challenges, none of this is news. People that have been working on these issues have been aware of this for some time. Change is slow, though. It seems that making progress is certainly, it's been an uphill battle.
Indeed. You know, the poverty-based, geographically centralized location of the disproportionate amount of violence in Jacksonville persists. It's young black males living in near complete isolation from real forms of social capital who become captive to illicit drug markets and a subculture of violence. And what we've done lately is hollow out the resources for Jacksonville Journey and after school programs and things that we know have a suppressive effect on violence. And in the economic times we've been through since 2008, we've tended to hold law enforcement harmless and cut everything else. Now that may make a certain amount of sense, but I would lobby now for reinvesting in those social programs that we know are also an important part of the formula.
Let's talk about that. Under the previous mayoral administration, John Payton began a program to attack the city's high homicide rate, the Jacksonville Journey, looking at an array of preventive efforts to reach the city's kids, also deal with people leaving prison. A whole host of things was instituted. What's the status of the Journey today?
Well, I'm no longer on the Oversight Committee of the Journey, but I know the budget has been cut repeatedly just for want of other crises, namely the pension and other situations that we face. But I think the overall message looking at these numbers is that we've got to stop trying to incarcerate our way out of poverty. It clearly doesn't work. We've led the state in homicide for over 10 years. That's not to say that the single best response for structural inequality is not hard work and personal responsibility. It is. But where do children learn that? They don't learn it in prison, that's for sure.
And if you're just joining the program, Jacksonville closed out 2013 with a slight uptick in its homicide rate. The high murder rate remains an issue in the city of Jacksonville, even though arrests and violent crimes overall have gone down. We want to know your thoughts about crime in the city. What's going on in your neighborhood? Give us a call, 549-2937, to join the conversation. Let's go to Ted at the beaches. Hello, Ted. How are you today? Good morning.
I'm doing fine. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Hey, the only reason I'm calling is... While the Jacksonville citizens are sleeping, there's a criminal element crawling the street, and JSO has their hands full. We need to open up the Florida lottery purse strings and give the money to the sheriff, give the money to the schools. It all starts at home. It starts at the schools. And Sheriff Rutherford needs more money to combat this criminal element that is creeping the streets at night while our families are sleeping. And that's all I got to say.
All right, Dad. Thank you, Ted. That's Ted out at the beaches. Let's address what he's saying. Now, the JSO budget has been cut. They have lost staff and resources.
Yeah.
They were able to lobby to get some of it back. But what about that?
Well, we're in a major structural crisis with the pension debt eating into social services, including law enforcement, but not only law enforcement, all sorts of social services, Jacksonville Children's Commission, Jacksonville Journey. Other key resources that are part of the formula that the sheriff always talks about have also been cut. So I agree entirely with the caller. One thing I would like to point out in the data is that as arrests have decreased dramatically since 2008, the racial disproportion of arrests has increased. In 2012, 69% of juvenile arrests in Duval were African-American children. So another byproduct of the scenario that we face is increasing social isolation and structural disadvantage of the African-American community to the point of a real crisis, it seems to me. So that in talking about this problem, I would start there.
Where do you think the city is stuck? Obviously, as you said, fiscally, we're in a really tough spot. The pension obligation is ballooning and must be dealt with. Money's tight. But these ongoing stubborn issues just continue to bedevil this city, and there just doesn't seem to be a clear-cut solution. Where are we getting stuck?
The legal wrangling, you know, in terms of sunshine and other factors involve, you know, there are lots of players and necessarily required to come together to resolve the pension crisis. And not the least of which is the courts. And so, you know, hopefully people will continue to dialogue and just do it in public and try to make progress.
549-2937. What are your thoughts about the city's crime rate? Let's go to Noah in Jacksonville. Hi, Noah. Good morning.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good, thanks. Go ahead.
Good. Yes, I was listening to your guest there, and I was just thinking whenever he first came on and he was talking, and something just told me this is going to boil down to something about money. And I understand what he's saying all the way. And I understand it takes money to run any operation. But I just don't think throwing a dollar or taking a dollar from somewhere is going to solve all the problems that's in the Jacksonville community as far as crime. Because, and it just seems, and I have to say this, I'm a Democrat, so I'm not a Republican saying you don't throw money at anything. Yes, you need to put some money somewhere. But I think the problem is more systemic, especially when it comes to the racial part, is that there is a vast disconnect between the black community and the police, law enforcement, and the courts. I think maybe if the black community were more enfranchised to the idea that liberty and law enforcement could work just as good for them as it does for the other citizens in Jacksonville, then you might see a community that's more, I would say, more attuned to working with the police in order to help reduce crime. And I say this from a personal standpoint because I've called the police, and the police was offended because I called him. And he even told me that he was offended that I called him because they had been investigating the crime in my community, and I knew nothing about it and didn't want to get involved because I knew nothing. But when I called him, he said, "Oh, now you want to call us." And my point was, look, I call you when I need you. you should understand what public servant means. You know, I was a public servant for quite a few years, and I understood that that's exactly what it is, a public servant. And I don't see it as an offensive thing. And I think the police, as far as the black community is concerned, sees it as we can't be a public servant to the black community. And so I'm not going to just ramble on about that. But like I say, I don't think you can just throw money at everything. And the last thing I'll say is I do think that one of the biggest problems is that the sheriff's department is probably the biggest problem when it comes to crime in this
city. Why do you say that?
Well, I say that because they have you talk about the disproportionate number of blacks or minorities being arrested to other groups. And that would tell me that one of two things, either the blacks are committing more crimes or the police are arresting more blacks just systemically.
All right.
And so and you can't just choose one. You have to have some kind of data to...
Thanks,
to,
Noah. Thank you, Noah. And I'm sorry, we just got a lot of callers waiting, Noah. Thanks, Noah. Okay. Noah's comments, let's talk about them for a minute, Dr. Hallett. Reflecting the distrust and suspicion many African Americans have toward the police, when Sheriff Rutherford is on this program, he will say he'll encourage everyone to join their neighborhood Shadco, their neighborhood organization, to try to build a relationship with the police so that they can get communication going about what's happening in their neighborhoods.
Yeah,
I think JSO would say that they do try to reach out and build a relationship. However, there is this perception that he reflected in his comments.
Well, I always like to point to this concept of structural violence when this comes up on both sides of the equation. I mean, think about this. If in neighborhoods where there are higher crime rates in the African-American community, if the police didn't come when they were called, they'd be critiqued or criticized for not coming. So I think that the challenge Jacksonville faces is that it has to be strong enough and have enough foresight to try to build a civic infrastructure broad and comprehensive enough to lower the crime rate through law enforcement prevention and intervention. And in my view, lost our focus on prevention and intervention. Structural violence, what does that mean? Let's take a child on the north side versus the south side. First day of school, kindergarten, okay? A child on the south side is likely to be literate, have computer skills, know his numbers, maybe even some multiplication.
Two-parent household.
Two-parent household. A child on the north side is not. Through no fault of the child on the north side, he's at a structural disadvantage
educationally. He starts farther back.
He starts farther back.
Yeah, or she.
Yes.
And we want your thoughts and comments about the ongoing issues with the city's homicide rate at 549-2937. Let's go to Adelaide in Riverside. Hi, Adelaide. Good morning.
Hi. I just was going to comment on the earlier contributor who talked a little bit about the way that people perceive the police force in Jacksonville. And I think that perception, along with maybe, I don't know how real it is, but it feels like there's this widespread militarization of police in America today. And my own brother, in fact, is incarcerated. And I've seen with the way that his case has been handled that it seems like, you know, it might set a long road for him to be involved with incarceration and just
what's he in for?
I'm sorry?
What's he in there for?
He's in there for dealing drugs.
Okay.
So not violent crime, but he's involved in violence, and I can see that continuing in his life.
Once he's out, you think that he'll have trouble reintegrating?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And the prison is overcrowded. He's actually in the detention center, and there's no plan to get him into the actual prison. So I think that overcrowding, too, is another aspect of the lack of funds that's really unfortunate.
All right, and that's Adelaide calling from Riverside. Adelaide, thanks for the call. This is not news to you. You deal with this all the time, Dr. Hallett.
Well, if I guess the caller is suggesting that nonviolent drug offenders should be diverted from prison, I entirely agree with that. The way incarceration really does nothing to address addiction issues unless you've got some pretty intensive kinds of remediation programming underway in the prison. And unfortunately, because we've incarcerated ourselves to death, literally over the last several years, there are very few resources for kinds of rehabilitation mm-hmm. and drug substance abuse treatment in the state prison system. One little factoid I'd like to throw out there is that over half of Florida Department of Corrections inmates have a sixth grade achievement level. So when we talk about structural violence, when we talk about structural disadvantage, those have costs associated with them, and they play out in the crime rate. Now, if you're concerned about spending money, the least effective and most expensive response to crime is the prison system. We have a recidivism rate over 50%. So investment up front might, in the end, save money.
Why do you think it's such a tough sell?
Well, because it's people want to spend as little as possible, particularly in Jacksonville. I mean, it's...
But you're saying we're spending more.
Well, we're spending more, you know, spend more now or even more later is what I would say on incarceration. I mean, unfortunately, the whole conversation about consolidation for a long time in Jacksonville, was an excuse to spend less. But that's never what consolidation really meant. Unfortunately, I think that's what it's become for some people.
Let's go to Joe in downtown Jacksonville. Hi, Joe. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Yeah, I think one thing we need to discuss, maybe did already, is that we have a system, particularly in the federal government, rewards the breakup of the family, which therefore penalizes the child because we pay for the father and the mother to split up, and then everybody else that works that has a father and mother home pays for it in two ways, and the poor child is caught in the middle because of a system that's backwards, and we need to figure out a way to turn it around so that we don't reward them for breaking up the family, so the support structure is there from the beginning.
Thanks, Joe. The journey, which you mentioned, the funding for that has been somewhat hollowed out. There was an element of that dedicated to strengthening families.
Yeah.
Correct?
After-school programs, strengthening families, early literacy, ex-offender programs.
Yeah. The whole nine yards.
Right, right. It was a very comprehensive agenda. About the last caller's remarks about the war on poverty and all that. I think there's some truth to what he was saying in that, you know, the liberal war on poverty locked people into isolated housing projects that left them completely isolated and with very little incentive for good behavior. The bad news is that the war on poverty then turned into the war on drugs. And the bad news about both of them is that they were wars on the same people. And you know, essentially both the war on poverty and the war on drugs, it seems to me, were clearly poverty management systems. And we have got to get out of the habit today of trying to manage poverty with the criminal justice system. And it seems to me that's exactly what we've done.
And you see that reflected in these numbers.
Indeed. If you look at the concentrations of violence and crime and just dysfunction in the same old places decade after decade.
Let's go to Eugene in Jacksonville. Hi, Eugene. How are you today? Eugene? All right, give us a call back. The number to join the show, 549-2937. Clay County's on the line. Bill in Clay County. Hi, Bill. All right, everyone's been holding so long listening to you, McHallett, that they've had trouble waiting and holding online. But so let's close with your final thoughts. As we start off this new year, they always say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Do you see Jacksonville consigned to just doing the same thing when it comes to dealing with these issues in 2014?
I sure hope not. The expanding population of struggling citizens, white and black, working class whites find themselves increasingly antagonistic with impoverished blacks. And it really all kind of reminds me of Dr. King's Poor People's Campaign, where many of the same dynamics and antagonisms are resurfacing, where efforts to suppress the vote, don't spend money on this or that. But the bad news again is if we don't invest a little bit in civic infrastructure, it's going to end up costing us all a lot more.